This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
This is Dee Dee Keel, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again, Martin Popoff here, back for another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this is episode 212. I'm calling this Drummers. Who's Left? Walking around the other day, I thought, you know what? Of all the positions in these rock bands, bass, guitar, keyboard, singers, even singers, right? Quite odd and surprising. Maybe this holds up, maybe it doesn't, but I got to thinking that drummer seems to be the most decimated position in terms of, you know, old saws from the 60s and 70s still being around. Bill Bruford was a famous one of the few people who came out as an individual, you know, not a band or whatever, and said, hey, I'm retiring. That was like big news at one point. It's kind of interesting how these things happen. It takes one to start in terms of saying this kind of thing. But no, so the idea with the drummers is that I started going down the list and noticed that, you know, in terms of being in a big position and, you know, a big band, big stages, playing actively, active touring, it seems to be that there are more drummers that have fallen by the wayside due to retirement and injury. I'm going to get into that in a second. And death. There's a lot of deaths in drummers. Again, debatable. I mean, go to the Facebook page, tell me if this holds up, but I'm going to try to make the case here. But I found it surprising that there are more singers who are struggling to keep going than there are drummers who struggle to keep going. And again, that might be something to do with the injuries, which again, I'm going to get to in a second. But I want to start with some drummer jokes that sort of tell you what people think of drummers, and maybe there's something in here of why they succumb to substance abuse as well, and untimely death. So how do you tell if the stage is level? The drummer is drooling from both sides of his mouth. How can you tell a drummer's at the door? The knocking speeds up. What's the last thing a drummer says in a band? Hey, how about we try one of my songs? What do you call a drummer that breaks up with his girlfriend? Homeless. How many drummers does it take to change a light bulb? 5. 1 to screw the bulb in, and 4 to talk about how much better Neil Peart could have done it. How do you get a drummer off your porch? Pay him $10 for the pizza. What do you call a drummer with half a brain? Gifted. What does a drummer use for contraception? His personality. What do you say to a drummer in a 3-piece suit? Will the defendant please rise? How did you hear about the drummer who finished high school? Me neither. Why do guitarists put drumsticks on the dash of their car so they can park in the handicap spot? How is a drum solo like a sneeze? You know it's coming, but there's nothing you can do about it. What is the difference between a drummer and a savings bond? One will mature and make money. What did the drummer say to the band leader? Do you want me to play too fast or too slow? It gives you a little insight into the drummer's personality, what people think of them. I mean, obviously, drummers are the ones who, you know, drum notation music is quite a vibrant and cool and interesting thing. The funny thing about drums, I guess, as opposed to everything else, is everything's one line. There's not different notes in terms of scale notes, up and down notes. But you look at drum notation, you got to put in the hi-hat, the cymbal, cymbals and the toms and the snare and the bass drum and all that stuff. So they've got that going for it that makes it kind of interesting. But yeah, so a reason we may see this, repetitive strain injuries. So a lot of these guys that we talk about with the drummers and why there aren't a lot of them around is because there is a lot of strain on drumming. I mean, it starts, you know, as a kid, hauling your own gear, throwing it in the back of the Pinto or AMC Pacer hatchback, you know, or the small or large station wagon or the van. You know, no roadie is there to pack up your drums to take them to where you're going when you start out. And probably no one's going to help you at the other end either because they're too busy with their own thing. So yeah, it starts there. You have the most stuff to haul around. But yeah, there's lots of tendonitis, carpal tunnel syndrome. There's a lot of bursitis. And again, this is all from repeated motion. I mean, guitarists and bass players have to deal with this stuff too. Bass players, the funny thing about bass players is they say, you know, they end up with fingers like walnuts, right? Back and spine issues. You got a lot of herniated discs going on with drummers, spinal misalignment. Well, hearing loss, tinnitus, you know, that happens with everybody, but drummers definitely. I mean, you're literally sitting at an acoustic instrument that's loud and you don't have a lot of control over it. I guess you can put in earplugs, but shoulder and rotator cuff injuries, a lot of those going on, wrist and elbow issues, you know, rim shots, fast movement, you know, just like anything, like the singers that last, the drummers that last have good technique. You know, I often think there's a lot to be said for, you know, and this will cause its own strains, but traditional grip versus matched grip. I think matched grip is causes a drummer to have way more motion and way more exertion to what's going on. But yeah, there's even just simple, stupid, boring little repetitive strain things like having to play fast 8th and 16th notes on a hi-hat or whatever a lot, right? But foot and ankle injuries due to bass drum pedal work as well. So you get Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, knee and joint problems, neck. And we talked about neck. Poor posture is a big thing. You know, I picture Alex Van Halen in his neck brace, right, drumming away. Hand and fingers stuff as well. And of course, as might have been, you know, evidenced or telegraphed by those jokes, a lot of substance abuse, addiction issues as well. But yeah, so you get a lot of that going, and just some examples, you know, to start building this case. I mean, I know we haven't played anything yet, but Phil Collins, you look at how worn down he is, right? That whole situation where he's singing from a chair and not drumming anymore. Joey Kramer has been semi, you know, he is essentially bounced out of Aerosmith. You know, not a 70s guy, but Lars Ulrich has had a lot of tendonitis and stuff as well. Bill Ward is an interesting case. You know, he basically couldn't return to Sabbath because of his health problems, heart issues, so stamina issues. And it's interesting. Bill Ward reminds me a little bit of an Albert Bouchard, who Albert Bouchard, by the way, you know, very advanced in age, and he's still drumming away and making those albums. But Bill Ward and Albert Bouchard did this kind of cool thing where they became more so singers and writers and making albums that way. So some of these drummers do adapt that way. But Terry Bozzio has had hand injuries and nerve damage. Mickey Hart, shoulder injury. Stuart Copeland's had his fair share of things. Neil Peart, sadly, we lost him to cancer, but he had chronic tendonitis. He was having a lot of pain as well. You know, you think of the Peter Criss situation, and, you know, Kiss likes to put it down to substance abuse, but basically his body, I think, has been kind of worn down by drumming too. And like I say, Alex Van Halen as well. So I'm going to give a few more examples, honorary mentions, you know, people who are dead as well. But let's celebrate some of these good ones. Let's play our first track here. This is Whitesnake with Trouble Is Your Middle Name. All All right, so this is a celebration. We were looking for them because, of course, our title is Drummers, Who's Left? Tommy Aldridge is left, but there's been a lot of rumblings lately. I mean, Whitesnake had to cancel out some touring. The last time they played was 2022, and there's been some mysterious stuff about, you know, Tommy being ill. You know, David's been ill as well, but... So there's sadly, some sort of severe illness with Tommy. But 72 years old, this is from the Flesh and Blood album, the 13th album from Whitesnake, May 10th, 2019. Still drumming up a storm. The neat thing about Tommy, and, you know, you interview him and you get into this about eating right and cycling. And, you know, he's just this athletic, wiry guy. He looks young for his age. So it's pretty cool that he's had this long career. You know, he's a 70s guy, so he's, you know, Black Oak, Arkansas, and into the Pat Travers Band. And oddly, in this spot, I was almost going to put Nico McBrain, because, you know, Nico certainly has had a... Well, you know, Whitesnake has really had a pretty heavy dance card, and it's pretty heavy duty drumming that Tommy has to do. So Nico and Tommy, kind of in parallel. But it's interesting that Nico also, you know, had his tenure through the Pat Travers Band in the 70s leading up to his gig. And then it's kind of interesting that in the early 80s, you had Tommy Aldridge drumming. You know, I guess, am I getting into a doppelganger episode here? Not really, but just to call this a mini one. But, you know, in the early 80s, Tommy is drumming for Ozzy Osbourne. And Nico McBrain is drumming for Iron Maiden. So these two competing bands at roughly the same level at that point. And then, well, I guess Ozzy is the bigger band. But yeah, and then both of them settle into, you know, a big storied heritage act later on. You know, Nico, obviously, I've already said he's in Maiden, but he's in Maiden. You know, Tommy winds up in the super famous version of Whitesnake, and then he's like the second legitimate reason for there being a Whitesnake in terms of, you know, pedigree of lineup, along with David in later years. And then he's had a lot of side things along the way. Gary Moore, Motorhead, he played on a Motorhead album. So this is a guy that that we should celebrate as one of the 70s guys going. But yeah, this album, yeah, you look at it, Reb Beach is in there, but basically it's David and Tommy and a bunch of younger guys. But yeah, so best hopes for Tommy. We'll see what's going on there, whether Whitesnake continues to tour. But this brings up the point that, you know, David Coverdale is definitely an example, sadly, of one of these singers who's in a pretty fragile state with his voice. But like I say, it's kind of interesting that more drummers, it seems to me, have fallen by the wayside than singers. Anyways, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here, History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 212, Drummers, Who's Left? I thought this is a great example. Take a listen to this. This is the Beatles with Birthday. Right, so Ringo is 83 years old. This is from the Great White album, November 22nd, 68. That's probably the best immersion box set that I own, is that White album box set. Wow, incredible. But yeah, I thought I'd pick this because over the years and later years, you know, there was a situation, where's my note here? You know, at one kind of cool time, Paul McCartney and Ringo performed Birthday for Star's 70th birthday at Radio City Music Hall on June 7th, 2010. And, you know, years later, Ringo is still doing things. And Ringo is kind of an example, a little bit, of someone who's figured out something new to add to the thing to keep this whole thing going, like a Bill Ward or an Albert Bouchard. But Ringo has Ringo's All-Stars, right? My fond Ringo stories, I did get to ask him a question once because I went to a press conference and a performance at Casino Rama north of Toronto, and yeah, it was Ringo Starr's All Stars. So yeah, he does this thing where he's behind the kit, not behind the kit, and he's got this band going. So it's pretty amazing. And plus, you know, the stuff he went through with substance abuse is amazing. He almost died, but yeah, 83 years old. This is obviously the biggest band in the world, and he's a great example. He looks young for his age. But yeah, I got to ask him a question there. That's when I got to meet in person also Ian Hunter, Greg Lake. It was very cool. It was a Roger Hodgson. Got a few things signed, not by Ringo. They explicitly put him aside, said don't ask Ringo to sign anything, sort of thing. But yeah, got to ask him a question. So this song I wanted to pick as well because it is some pretty powerful drumming. It's funny, you got to look up the Beatles songs to make sure you don't pick something Paul McCartney drummed on, right? But yeah, this I love this part that I played from this as well because it's drumming on its own and then is drumming on a very heavy part for the Beatles, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's kudos to Ringo for lasting as long as he has as a drummer. He's got to be our number one best elder statesman of this. And I wanted to mention as well, part of this, it's... We lost Charlie Watts, but Charlie Watts definitely went late as well. And, it brings up a point about economical drumming or drumming that doesn't have to, exert yourself so much. And, Ringo Starr kind of fits in that as well. But so did Charlie Watts. I would say, he had that standard jazz technique. He was not a very animated drummer. So some of that, I think of Mick Fleetwood lasting and possibly Mick Fleetwood has a pretty easy job in Fleetwood Mac. Am I right about that? I don't know. But anyways, I wanted to pay tribute as well to Mick Avery from the Kinks, although the Kinks is not a band you think of when you think of drumming, particularly. They always are often, not always, but some of those 80s albums, they have a terrible, terrible drum sound on those albums. Anyways, it's pretty cool that along with the obstinance of the brothers not having the Kinks, Mick Avery spent some time in the 90s in Dave Clark's band. What else did he do? The Cast-Off Kinks. Let's see. The Animals. Class of 84. So he's gone along and played the 60s All-Stars band later in life. So in deep into the 2000s, Mick Avery was still playing. I don't know what he's doing now, but yeah, he's still with us, 79 years old. So that's pretty cool. So that kind of takes care of your let's finish it off. The Who, right? The Who, we lost Keith Moon to substance abuse long, long time ago, right? Was it 1978, I believe? So yeah, that's a case of that, and not exactly in that camp. But of course, there's John Bonham again. We lost him super early as well. So yeah, more of that to come. More death to come later in this episode. But let's play our third selection here. Take a listen. This is Pink Floyd with "Remember a Day." All right, so this is a fond recent memory, but let's salute Nick Mason, Saucerful of Secrets. So this is from A Saucerful of Secrets, but Nick Mason, obviously in this great tour that was associated with Pantheon Podcast recently. So Nick Mason's done this really cool second life career, put together this amazing band, super slick band, beautiful sounding, and they go out and play the super early Pink Floyd. But Nick Mason, this is from June 28th, 1968, this song, and I wanted to pick something with a little bit of drumming. But, having seen A Saucerful of Secrets, okay, put it this way, actually. So Nick Mason's job up there as a drummer, technically speaking, is not very tough at all. And you can tell his age, and he's not the most energetic drummer in the world. But watching that show, you realize that I would say 69% of Nick's brain power up there has to be spent on remembering all this stuff. That's the incredible thing with the songs that the Saucerful of Secrets play. There's a lot of songs, number one. There's a lot of long songs. There's a lot of parts. There's a lot of counting what's going to go on. So it's proggy in that sense. There's the big debate on whether Pink Floyd's a prog band, but really cool. So and he's also got to, at his advanced age, he's got to be kind of the leader of this band. He comes out and talks, and he's essentially the band leader. although he's got a, you know, a crack team of musical directors that make this such a compelling show. But it's really cool that he's found a way when there essentially is no Pink Floyd to do something really vibrant and interesting. I would argue it might even be, well, it's no, I mean, I would say David Gilmour, because he is writing originals. I would say that you'd have to put that in second place. And I think Roger Waters is doing an amazing thing. So Nick's in third out of the three surviving members, but it's still amazing, right? So fact is, actually, all three of them are doing something really, really cool. All right, let's take a listen to our fourth selection here. This is Queen with Fat Bottomed Girls. Hey, listen up. All right. Well, hey, this is the second week in a row we played something from Queen Jazz. We had a different reason last time. Last episode, what is what's the point of this band? But this is again from Jazz. We played Fun It last time. This is November 10th, 1978. What I love about this situation is that Roger Taylor also has to sing. And why I wanted to play this song is I just love the drum sound on this album, and certainly, you know, most definitely on this song. And I love the fills. I love the snare drum. I love the cymbal sound, the toms, the tuned ploypy toms, the kind of overdrive thing he does, the over-the-top thing he does. But I definitely wanted to include him here because much as I loathe the whole situation of Queen being a tribute band to themselves with Adam Lambert, and I'm really ticked off that they never made more albums, they don't write originals. Fact of the matter is, they've toured a lot. Okay, they did the album with Paul Rogers. They toured a lot, and Roger has quite a job up there. I mean, Queen songs are pretty, you know, demanding quite often. And literally, as I'm speaking right now, I mean, they've got tour dates lined up in the future for October and November of 2023. So these guys are still going. One guy I wanted to put in here, I almost put in here in his place instead, because I didn't want to repeat Queen, but hey, who doesn't want to listen to Queen, right? I almost put in Frank Beard. Because again, there's a situation where ZZ Top, I mean, this guy's been the, you know, that band was the same three guys forever. Obviously, we've got Elwood in there because Dusty Hill has passed on. So Frank is still the drummer in that band. Let's not talk about the albums where he wasn't even drumming on. Let's leave that aside. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you go see ZZ Top and Frank is still the guy up there. He's definitely showing his age too, though. It reminds me a little bit of when, you know, I saw Yes near the end there with Alan White. I mean, Alan White, obviously, sadly, we've lost him too. That's another death. But Frank Beard is definitely showing his age. He's slowing down. He's simplified things a fair bit, but still, you know, kudos to him for being in ZZ Top and ZZ Top doing so much touring, the amount of touring that they've done and the amount of records they've done. So he was almost in there in place as well. All right, let's move on to our fifth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Deep Purple with One Night in Vegas. All right, so this is my favorite example of all of these, Ian Paice. So Ian Paice starts in the late 60s, you know, on records with Deep Purple. I mean, he's already exerting himself, playing cool, complicated stuff during that that horrible Mark I version of Deep Purple. And then he's just one of the classic great drummers of classic hard rock through your In Rocks and Machine Heads and Fireball. You know, you think of that awesome thing that he does at the beginning of Fireball. Incredible drummer, a drummer with a light touch, a jazzy touch. This is from Infinite, which is their 20th album, April 7th, 2017. But yeah, as I speak here, they're playing dates right now in Eastern Europe. So Ian Paice is probably one of the guys in here that I dare say has maybe worked the most. Who do we got here? So we got Roger Taylor. He's definitely worked more than Roger Taylor. I think he's worked more than Nick Mason. It's definitely worked more than he's drummed more and hit the drums more, way more than Ringo Starr, I would say. And Tommy Aldridge might give him a run for his money in terms of how many hours he's put in at the office. But Ian Pace is a great example of a guy that is a force of nature, a machine. He's a great drummer. Again, a light touch guy. We often compare him to the likes of Brian Downey, who, had to beg off, had to resign, essentially retire from Black Star Riders, slash Thin Lizzy. So there's an example of a drummer basically bowing out, falling by the wayside, but not from death. And Mick Tucker, who did have to bow out from death. He bowed out more or less quite a bit earlier than that, but the workload went down. But yeah, we lost Mick Tucker as well, so there's another casualty. But Ian Pace is my favorite example of all of these. I wanted to mention a few honorable mentions, guys that almost made my list, but it is called History in Five Songs. We've got Roger Earl, 77 years old, still giving her for Foghat. So that's really cool to see. And he's got a pretty busy job up there. And Foghat are not particularly a bar band. They're more of a play outdoor festival kind of band. So, it's a pretty heavy duty job he's got up there still. So that's pretty cool. Carmen Appice, on the other hand, I just saw him live not very long ago. But with Vanilla Fudge, and they're essentially, there's a guy who also is a force of nature. He's been around for a long time. He's still a powerful drummer, and at the same time, I want to mention Vinnie Appice. I guess you can include him as a 70s drummer, I suppose. You think of Axis and Bruiser. Axis, yeah, that's what they're called. But mostly Derringer, of course. On the Derringer album, Derringer Live, Sweet Evil, that's where he basically staked his reputation, of course, then into Black Sabbath as well. But yeah, Vinny's in Fine Fettle, and so is Carmine, which is pretty cool. I mentioned Mick Fleetwood earlier. Mickey Hart, 79 years old. He's still doing stuff. Don Henley, I've always complained about Don Henley as a drummer, but still active. Herman Rarebell's an interesting case. He also is a guy who kind of took it upon himself when he stopped being the drummer for Scorpions to be a type of band leader, type of historian, still in pretty good health. Terry Bozzio, although, like I say, he's had his problems as well. Ainsley Dunbar, 77 years old. Simon Kirk, Don Brewer, and Phil Ehart. Kind of interesting situations where both of those guys are drummer leaders of bands. That's pretty cool to see. Phil Rudd, who thought after his troubles he would make a return, but he was there on Power Up again. So Phil Rudd has been around for lots and lots and lots of years. And there are rumors of AC/DC still being around. Rat Scabies, let's go into the punk world a little bit. I mean, Rat's an interesting case where, he's been on and off, but he's been, it's pretty cool that, okay, so there was the reunion shows, and in those reunion shows of the Damned, it was Brian James that was looking pretty fragile, not moving around much, but Rat Scabies did a great job. And Rat has also been creative in having his own band situation as well. So he's cleaned himself up and done well over the years to stay a drummer. And we mentioned Albert Bouchard in that Bill Ward situation. Kind of interesting. And yeah, at the retired end, a lot of these guys are sort of semi-retired. I wanted to not include guys that I thought might still be around, but they've been kicked down to minor bands. And then even the situation of playing a bar gig versus playing a stadium gig, I feel like is a few levels down on the whole stress level and how perfectly in tune. You could be a little more casual about it, but So it's funny, I kicked out a lot of those guys. You know, Vinny Appice's kind of, I suppose, in this situation. So is Carmine, you know, frankly speaking, right? But yeah, it's cool to see them still going. You know, at the dead end of things, we've got Dave Holland, Richie Hayward, my fond memories of interviewing him on the bus when Little Feet came to Toronto one time. I mentioned John Bonham, mentioned Keith Moon, Neil Peart, Ginger Baker. Well, that's, you know, but again, he was in fragile health for a lot of years. You know, back to the drumming jokes, you know, these guys, it feels like drummers have, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like they definitely, you know, we're seeing much more unfortunate situations with drummers than other people. Cozy Powell, we know he died in a car crash. Mitch Mitchell, ill health for many years. He had immune system disorder, cancer, died at 62. Sandy West from the Runaways died of lung cancer at 47. Tony Williams, the great fusion drummer, Miles Davis, Tony Williams' lifetime, heart attack at 51. I mentioned Mick Tucker before. Levon Helm, we lost to throat cancer, 71. Keith Knudsen, Doobie Brothers, age 56, due to pneumonia. Jeff Porcaro was a famous early case that was kind of blamed on cocaine, 38 years old back in 1992. Nazareth, we lost Daryl Sweet. We lost Eric Carr, although that was cancer. Cliff Davies from the Ted Nugent Group, we lost him due to medical issues. We lost Filthy Animal Taylor. Vinnie Paul, who's not a 70s drummer, but there you go. There's another guy that we lost. So I don't know. You tell me. Did I make my case? I really do feel that, you know, and drummers will also tell you that, you know, I feel there's a sense that drummers do have just overall generally the most physical job up there on stage. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But the thing is, people overstate that as well. People who are not drummers overstate how physical. Oh, that must be a ton of work up there and stuff. Drummers will tell you that playing fast things is not particularly much more of a bigger deal than playing slow things and blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's all in the wrist and all that sort of stuff. So there is an overstatement of how physical the job of drumming is. Most of it is just... you know, flicking your wrists and stuff and, you know, bouncing the sticks. And, you know, when you hear lots and lots of, you know, when you hear rolls and things like that, not particularly, exerting a lot of force. But, you know, the layman out there hears a lot of beats, a lot of notes, right? So there's a lot of noise coming from a drummer, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, when a band gets off stage, you know, the drummer is definitely soaked in sweat and they're the guys, and you know, that's why they're sitting there in their shorts and no shirt on half the time doing their job up there. Right. So yeah, there is that. And like I say, there's a lot more limbs, put it this way. There's a lot more limbs where you can have all these repetitive, strange, strain injuries, really, really all four of your limbs plus your back and neck, where, you know, a lot of the injuries when it comes to drummers and bass players are, guitarists and bass players are more like carpal tunnels type things, you know, very focused on elbows and hands and wrists and things like that. Some neck injuries as well, you know, and then there's the famous neck injuries and back injuries of the likes of a Jason Newsted and a John Schaefer from too much headbanging, right? And then of course the vocalists are dealing with that fine, very touchy, small, localized instrument called, you know, the vocal cords, right? So they've got to deal with that. So anyways, if you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi.com, Ko-fi/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. This week, I would like to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission. Andy and I just talked. He's part of my Thin Lizzy panel book. So that was very cool. Thank you for that, Andy. Brandon Belt as well, Lee Clifford, Carl Isaacson, Augustine Garcia de Prides, Steve Polari, and David Sloan. For my books, I started a thing at Sea of Tranquility. I'm going to go all the way down to the bottom of my martinpopoff.com and just mention one book that from the very bottom, anything that's in print. So I've gone through Southern Rock Review and The Collector's Guide to the 80s. But yeah, all the books, you can get my books at martinpopoff.com. PayPal button's there. I sign them, send them out from the office, blah, blah, blah. And that's about it. So let me know. Go to the Facebook page. Let me know if I'm right about drummers being a particularly hard job and a position of more pronounced casualty than the other parts of a rock band. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.